Today on From His Heart, we'll discover that we are likely worshiping more than just God in our life, and that's not good. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Now, when you read the second commandment, if you're not careful, you can say, well, you can't have any kind of images in worship, because God is making it very clear, don't make any images when you worship me. So here's the question, well, why? Why can't we make an image of God and then worship through that image to worship God? I mean, we know that's not really God, so we're just worshiping through that image to God. Why does God not want us to do that?
Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today as we examine closely the second of God's Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. It's from Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Now, anything you worship more than God is a graven image. Cars, clothes, sports, even our jobs are dangerous things to worship because they can go away. But God will never go away, and that's why it's best for us to only worship Him. Today, Pastor Jeff will help us take a deeper look at this commandment than just face value, and truly understand what the deeper meanings are of the second commandment. The message today is from Pastor Jeff's 10-lesson series, Written in Stone, a study of the Ten Commandments. This series is also our thank you gift for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month, and you can get a copy in the format of your choice when you make that gift at fromhisheart.org. Now though, open your Bible to the book of Exodus, as Pastor Jeff Shreve begins the lesson, Idolatry and Divine Jealousy.
So let's look again, Exodus chapter 20. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, I am Yahweh your Elohim, the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me, no other gods alongside of me, no other gods rivaling me, no other gods before my face. That's commandment number one. Commandment number two, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the sea. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, Yahweh your Elohim, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, commandment one and commandment two really fit together strongly. Because in commandment one, we learn the God that we are to worship. And in commandment two, we learn how we are to worship this God. They really fit together, and there's a little bit of overlap in those, as you're going to see. But here's our question. Well, what do we learn from the second commandment? Because there are some things in there that I just read that you might say, perk up your ears, God's a jealous God. God visits the iniquity of fathers on children to the third and fourth generations. That doesn't sound right. So we're going to look a little deeper than just face value and see what the Lord is saying here. So two discoveries from the second commandment. Discovery number one, God is not to be worshiped in a carved or created image. We don't worship God in a carved or created image. Look at it again. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water or under the sea. You shall not worship them or serve them. Now, the people, they're all from Egypt. They grew up in Egypt. All they saw was what was going on in Egypt. Egypt's very pagan. Egypt has lots of gods, lots of idols, and they're worshiping all these things. That's what the people came out of. And so God is giving them something way, way different. Now, when you read the second commandment, if you're not careful, you can say, well, you can't have any kind of images in worship, because God is making it very clear, don't make any images when you worship me. But it's hard to imagine that's the right interpretation, because the Lord tells Moses in the book of Exodus how he's to make the tabernacle. And it's very, very elaborate, this tabernacle and the furniture in the tabernacle and what they're supposed to put on it. And so you have, for instance, the menorah, the golden lampstand. Well, that lampstand, if you'll notice on the branches of the lampstand, you have almond blossoms. Well, the Lord says that's how you're supposed to make that, almond blossoms. And you have three on each one of the stems. And you have four on the main branch that goes up. Well, that was made to order. God said that's how you do it. You think about the Ark of the Covenant. What do you have on the mercy seat at the very top? Well, you have the two angels with their wings touching. Those are the cherubim. Well, if you take the second commandment and misinterpret it, you say, well, you could never make anything like that, because that would be wrong. That's making an image of angels. But God told them to do that. Here's the thing. God is not against images in worship. He's against the worship of images. And that's what he is saying. And the people came out of a background where they worshiped images, where they worshiped idols. And God says, don't do that. So here's the question. Well, why? Why can't we make an image of God and then worship through that image to worship God? I mean, we know that's not really God, so we're just worshiping through that image to God. Why does God not want us to do that? Three reasons. Number one, the presence of God cannot be localized in an image. You can't say, well, this is God. You know, as they're going to do in Exodus chapter 32, when Moses is up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, the people say to Aaron, Moses' brother, hey, we don't know what happened to Moses. So Aaron, make for us a God that we may worship. And so they make the golden calf. Probably looked a lot like the golden calf in Egypt, because they worshiped the bull in Egypt. They called that false god Apis, A-P-I-S. And so they say, that is your God. Behold, your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the house of slavery. God can't be localized like that. There's a great name for God in Scripture, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there, the Lord ever present. As Solomon said when he built the beautiful temple, and in his prayer, he said this, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house which I have built. You know, God, that was God's house, the temple. But to say, well, that is, we worship the temple, and they started doing that. They said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. They started to worship the temple. This is God's house. This is where God is. This is the presence of God. This is in this ark. This is our God, and we worship him. God can't be localized like that. But it was very easy for them to do that. And so you read in 1 Samuel chapter 4, where they're fighting the Philistines and Israel is getting defeated by the Philistines. So they lost 4,000 guys. And they say, what's the deal? What do we need to do? And somebody says, we need to go to the house of God. Now, at that time, it was in Shiloh. And we need to get the Ark of the Covenant, and we'll bring it into the battle. And that's like God coming into the battle, and everybody will see the Ark of the Covenant. And so they got Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, and they brought, they were priests, they were rotten to the core, but they brought the Ark of the Covenant, and everybody cheered, whoa, the Ark of the Covenant. And the Philistine says, what is this? They said, they have brought their gods into the battle. This has never happened to us before, the Philistine said. They were scared to death. These are the gods who defeated Egypt. That's how the pagans thought of it. And the Israelites are thinking along the lines of the pagans And what happened? They got routed in battle, and the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant. Now, they didn't want it for very long because they took the Ark of the Covenant and they brought the Ark into the house of their god, Dagon, who was half man, half fish. And he didn't fare well before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And then they all got tumors, literally hemorrhoids. Everywhere the Ark went, the Philistines got hemorrhoids. And they said, get this out of here. We don't want this anymore. So God was showing that he is God, but you can't localize him in some object that you have created. Reason number two, God, not only can he not be localized in an image, the glory of God cannot be depicted in an image. How are you going to depict God? You can't. You don't. God is spirit. So how can you depict a spirit? You can't do that. And when God appeared on the mountain, he didn't show any kind of image. And the reason being is, how are you going to create some image that could express the glory of God? Man cannot do that. But in the New Testament, when the Word becomes flesh, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. And so we see the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. But even in that, even in Jesus, you don't see the glory until you get on the inside. On the outside, Jesus just looked like any other Jew. None of the Bible writers in the New Testament ever give us any insight to what Jesus looked like. Isn't that strange? Doesn't it seem like somebody would say, well, you know, Jesus, he's 5'11". He had shoulder length hair. He had this kind of build. I mean, his facial features look like this. Nobody tells us any of that. They don't talk about any of that stuff. The only one who gets close to talking about what he looked like is Isaiah. And Isaiah, the prophet, says in Isaiah 53, he has no stately form or majesty that we should be attracted to him. No beauty that we should look upon him. What does that mean? Jesus is just a very ordinary looking guy on the outside. All the beauty is on the inside, all the glory on the inside. And one time he let the three disciples, his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, see on the inside. Remember, he took them to the Mount of Transfiguration and he just pulled back the veil of his humanity and he let them look at his deity and he began to shine like the sun. And they said, wow, they were just blown away. They didn't know what to say. And they heard the voice of God, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, listen to him. And they were with him on the mountain. Peter said, we didn't follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we were eyewitnesses of his glory. We were on the mountain when we heard the voice of the majestic glory say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, listen to him. And it's so funny, Peter always had to say something. He had foot and mouth disease. And so it says that they were in awe and didn't know what to say. And so not knowing what to say, Peter said this. You know, it's like, I got to say something. So I'm just going to say this. Lord, it would be good if we built three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Well, it was not the time to say anything. It was just the time to worship. But here's the point that God is making. Don't make a likeness of me, because there's no way that you can capture my glory in a likeness of me. So that's the second reason. Not only is the presence of God impossible to localize in an image, but the glory of God can't be depicted in an image. And thirdly, the worship of God must be in spirit and truth with words. In spirit and truth with words. Now, we know about the spirit and truth from John chapter 4. Jesus, with his experience with the woman at the well. And she begins to talk to him about worship. And he says to her, an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So we worship the Lord in spirit and truth with words. Now in Deuteronomy, What is the book of Deuteronomy? It's Moses' last three sermons to the people before they go into the promised land. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. God told him that. I'm not going to let you go in. You can see it, but you can't go in because you disobeyed me and you treated me as common among the people. And that was a grave, grave sin. Moses, if you want to be real technical, Moses committed the sin unto death that's talked about in 1 John chapter 5. And so Moses, his strength was not abated, nor his eyes dim, the scripture says, when he died. He was still able to go, but God says, you're retired and I'm not gonna let you into the land. Well, this is what he says in one of his three sermons given to the people before they go into the promised land. He says, then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form, only a voice. So watch yourselves carefully, since you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, which is another name for Mount Sinai, from the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make a graven image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water below the earth. Don't do it. Remember, when God came to you on Mount Sinai, you didn't see him. You heard his voice. Could God have revealed himself to them in a different way? He could, but he didn't. They just heard a voice. And when people would see God, because it goes on to say that some of the elders of Israel saw the Lord, they saw his glory. What did he look like? Fire. He's a consuming fire. The only God we see in scripture that we can actually see is Jesus. And sometimes in the Old Testament, you have a pre-incarnate visitation of the Lord and he comes in bodily form. It's a pre-incarnate visitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, who walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? Did they walk with the Spirit? No, I think they walked with the pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now God the Father, Bible says no man has seen God at any time. No man has seen God the Father at any time. And so we worship with words in spirit and truth. In the beginning was the Word, the scripture says. And not, it doesn't say in the beginning was the picture. In the beginning was the image. No, in the beginning was the Word. And this is interesting in Revelation chapter 4, where John the Apostle is called up into heaven. He says this in Revelation 4, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven and one sitting on the throne. Oh, tell us, John, what does he look like? And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. And from the throne proceed flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. Well, how would you make that is in an image? I mean, it's just metaphors that he uses. And it's just, God is awesome, but he's never described in terms of things that we can see. Now in heaven, the Bible says that Revelation 21 and 22, that we see his face. God says to Moses, when Moses said, Lord, show me your glory, Exodus 34. He said, I can't show you my face, Moses. No man can see my face and live. So what did he show Moses? Remember, he hid him in the cleft of the rock and covered him with his hands. He said, Moses, I'm gonna make all my glory pass by you and you're gonna see just the backside of my glory, the edges of my glory. You can't see my face and live. And so God is saying here, hey, don't make an image of me. Don't make any representation of me in some kind of a created image that you would worship, because that would be sin. And you are not to do that. You can't capture my glory and my presence can't be localized. And you are to worship me in spirit and in truth with words. Kevin DeYoung said this, in Christianity, we see by hearing. Hey, what does God say? He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, 6, for the one who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. We don't come to God by sight, we come to God by faith. And the scripture says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many, many people saw the miracles of Jesus. But you don't get saved by seeing the miracles of Jesus. You get saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John 5:24, "Truly, truly, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not enter into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." You hear and you believe, and we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth with words, not with images and not with creations that we make, carved images, graven images, or some kind of a molten image that is formed into God. Now, as we said, this is the commandment that was given in Exodus 20. Then Moses, after the people get the commandment, because this wasn't just given to Moses on the mountain, this was given to all the people. Remember, they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us lest we die." God is scaring us to death because there's lightning and fire and smoke and thunder and God's voice. They wanted to do the commandments. And then Moses goes up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, we don't know what happened to Moses. Make for us a God. And then we have this depiction of God that Aaron made, and then he lied about it. Now, we call it a golden calf. It was probably a bull, and it was probably influenced. I mean, that's strong, that's powerful, that's mighty, and our God is strong and powerful and mighty. Now, did they say that that was Yahweh? No, but that's gonna help us to worship, Lord, because we have to have a God that we can see. And God says, no, you don't. You have to believe in my word. So God is not to be worshiped in a carved or created image.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve today, and the lesson, idolatry and divine jealousy. As we've said and become very apparent today, anything you worship more than God is a graven image. We've got our cars that we love, clothes, collections, occupations, houses, bank accounts, activities, lots of stuff that we spend most of our thoughts and time on. And they're dangerous things to worship. But God wants each of us to worship Him eternally, the loving God who created us. That's what we're learning about in today's lesson, part one of Idolatry and Divine Jealousy. It's from Pastor Jeff Shreve's new series, Written in Stone, a study of the Ten Commandments. Now, these commandments are God-given laws that reveal guidance that we need to hear. They help us know how to serve God and how we should live with each other. When studying the Ten Commandments, we'll be reminded that we often discard these truths in our lives. But we need a Savior and can't save ourselves by just being good. They open our hearts and eyes to the grace of the Holy Spirit and what God can accomplish in us and through us by His grace. All this month, we're airing 10 lessons from this series called Written in Stone, and we'd like you to get a copy. It's our gift to you this month for your support to From His Heart of any amount. And you can receive your copy either on USB flash drive, digital download, CDs, or DVDs, your choice. To get yours, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and make that gift today. And when you do, you're helping From His Heart continue to share these kinds of messages each and every day on this and hundreds of stations nationwide and around the world. Pastor Jeff receives no income from this ministry. He is our chief volunteer. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE. Or go to fromhisheart.org, request the series Written in Stone, a study of the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm Larry Nobles, and a big thanks from all of us at From His Heart for joining us today for part one of the message, Idolatry and Divine Jealousy. Pastor Jeff will have part two on Monday, when Pastor Jeff will open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.